listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, having our own Vietnam flashbacks. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul here, going through a little PTSD himself after watching a few of these, right?
Yeah, we're going to be covering Rambo, the movie series of which we've covered on the website. And I think the issue I have with Rambo, and we're going to go over all of this, is the fact that he's a very 80s icon that pretty much can't escape that decade.
Yeah, it's very much like the crux of the character is a Vietnam veteran.
Yeah.
And what they've gone through. Like, that was very much hitting home in, you know, the 60s, 70s, 80s. He's very much that character. So to see him in the later movies, while I enjoyed the finale one more so than the fourth one, and we'll get there, his time has long since passed as a relevant kind of like relatable character, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, I think there's a key point to him is that he was, like, especially for the first film, First Blood, which isn't even Rambo, but
is. Yeah, funny enough.
Yeah, the series really morphed. We'll get through this. He was very specific to that time period, that place, that war. We have veterans that we hang out with online in the Discord that we're part of. And the veterans that have gone through things since then have a different experience, not necessarily completely different, but different enough that even like if you're like, well, let's recast him and make him a, I don't know, Afghanistan war veteran.
Yeah.
What they,
which, funny enough, they touched on a little bit in one of the movies.
They touched upon that, and it was, you know, a different Afghanistan in Rambo 3, but still, like, the Afghanistan that we're talking about is different enough that even if you're talking about PTSD and recovery, it's a different experience for them, a different war that they kind of failed to win. Like, it's not the same. I think Rambo is of a time and place, and if you were to try and reboot it, you'd basically not have Rambo anymore.
Yeah, it's... You can still kind of get the formula, like you're saying, you know, the war veteran, the what they've gone through, but, like, the horrors of Vietnam and what makes Rambo is something that can't really, I think, be replicated.
No.
Especially even with, you know, Stallone is, you know, iconically that character among other roles that he's had in his career. It would feel off for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, to your point, I liked Rambo 3. I think that's probably a bad one too, in general speaking. But, like, if it ended there, like, I didn't need more Rambo in my life 20 years later. I just didn't. I liked Rambo where it was.
Well, and that's, I think that's something that we can discuss further. But they have, like, tried to think about how they could continue the series again after this. Do they do a prequel, which was, like, what, Rambo New Blood? Or do they do a continuation, which is Rambo Next Blood? They have a naming convention we're going to go through here. But, like... Mm-hmm. In all those cases, they just didn't pursue it because you wouldn't have Stallone in the role, or it wouldn't feel like the kind of Rambo that we're expecting. Like, it's a very specific thing, which even the sequels couldn't replicate from the first film, because the first one was just a completely different experience. First Blood is a Vietnam vet movie that just so happens to have some action in it.
Yeah, and it's such a good story, too.
It is.
Like, it's what we know and how we feel about veterans today, like, that really hit on, like, you know, the different way they were felt about back then, you know, like, like, these people that came back, like, they were almost seen as monsters, not as heroes.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting take, and, like, the psychology that he goes through in that first movie and everything he's been through to lead him to that point. It's a great flick. The first and second one are very, very, very good.
First one I'll give you. We'll discuss. But, like, the first one is interesting because it's, as you said, the Vietnam vets that came back weren't well supported. They were viewed very poorly by the country, as evidenced by the fact that the sheriff cop that he has to deal with basically treats him like this homeless hobo dirt person that he doesn't even want in his town. Which, I think it's like, you're like, how could he treat him like that? But I think the message to take away is that it wasn't just that town. It was every town. There's a reason he's walking through the countryside, doesn't have a car, is barely getting by, is because every place he goes has been treating him like this. And eventually he just got fed up and decides to walk back into town and cause the whole kerfuffle.
I mean, they kind of had it coming in a
way. No, I agree on that front. Yeah. You're sitting there going, there's no cop I've seen in the movie that I kind of want to hate more than this guy. He had it coming.
Yeah, I wasn't rooting for any of the good guys in that movie.
quote unquote good guys. Yeah, no. Yeah. It definitely was an experience there. And It raised valid issues about the treatment of Vietnam vets and how people were viewing them. And I think it was part of the conversation for healing that, especially, you know, because pop culture can help heal things and change minds and perspectives. And it's, the problem is it's a very different movie from anything that came after, because they focused on the action and not the drama aspect. As much as Stallone kept trying to shove messages into the movies, he very rarely was successful at it.
I'll give him credit. You know, that's a really good point. Even in the more recent ones, he always just tries to I don't have a place anywhere. You know, this was my home and now I can't even stay here kind of thing. Like he definitely tries to keep that in every aspect when, you know, to your point, after the first film, people just wanted to see the guns.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, if you go from the first one where he's like, he's a guy who's no longer welcome in his country. And then he goes to the second movie and like the whole message is, do we get to win this time? Like he even says that and you're sitting there going, is that what we're really going for? Wasn't the whole point that it was an unwinnable war? Like, this is a fever dream. Like, my brother-in-law, when I discuss these movies with him, has an interesting take, which is the fact that the first movie was supposed to end with him dying, but they decided not to use that ending and they went with a different one. And, like, if you view it from that perspective, every movie that comes afterwards is just his dying fever dream.
And that's a really interesting thought on it, because like I could have seen that, like he was meant to pass away at the end of the first movie, but I mean, you know, like a couple rewrites, a couple decisions here and there, and they decided to make him live, and then the next thing you know, here we are talking about it 40 years later.
So the first movie is a drama with action elements, the second movie is an action movie with some dramatic elements. I think it's like half of a good movie, honestly. Like him infiltrating and trying to find these people, and like the government that wants to keep it a secret, that's all in line with First Blood, just from a different perspective. Where it loses me is in that third act, where he's just rampaging around with like exploding arrows or like flying a helicopter and like screaming while he blows everything up. It's like it's self-parody at that point, but it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. I mean, there was a little overboard on some of the. I mean, yeah, a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, you know, in the first movie, you had the guy that went rampaging on a town in Washington State. Now, at least the guy's rampaging over in another country and can get away with it. I guess. I mean, I don't know.
It did feel like the climactic third act lost the thread.
A little bit, because like it had a good story, you know, the arc, you know, we're gonna are we gonna win again, and that's a theme, like you said that, and I want to just hit on that again real quick, because like that, are we gonna win again, like I feel like that's his internal struggle about how he left part of himself back there, like are we gonna win, he'll never go escape. Back and make it right, he's still there, like he's still there to this day,
and credit to the fourth movie is the fact that they kind of touch upon that again. He's still living out in like East Asia at that point, and has never escaped, and that he basically feels more comfortable there in, like, the boondocks, basically, of East Asia than he ever would be back in civilization again.
Yeah, you know, like, kerosene lanterns, you know, very little, you know, very minimalist, not quite like, you know, you're stocking a pantry for doomsday kind of guy, but like a total hermit and a total shut-in. He's alone, and there's a message of being alone and can never have something is the theme throughout these. And like, it has some good heartfelt moments, but it does fall a little flat on the messaging overall throughout the franchise.
I think probably the worst one for me was the last one, which you liked better than I did. But the third one definitely loses the message for me, though, as far as like, what are we even trying to say? He wanted to raise perspective for the Afghanistan Civil War, a very specific portion of it, and the rebels that were fighting for it, which in 1988 was respectable. By 2001, didn't work out so well. No!
Not so much
at all, considering who those rebels likely became. Like, Rambo defeats the Soviet Union and ends the Cold War through Afghanistan is a very 1980s message, certainly. Makes it feel like a very 1980s movie. Rambo accidentally causes the World Trade Centers to explode. Is the actual message we ended up with, even though that's the unintended one.
That is quite the hot take right there, but you're probably not wrong, I think. Right? Like, I remember watching Rambo 3 as a kid and being like, I just like this movie. And then I remember growing up and like I remember thinking back to when this happened, like, that's not the Afghanistan I knew from the Rambo movie. Like, I was a kid. I didn't understand. You know, I understand more now, obviously.
Yeah.
But, like, you're right. Like, it did not age well. Yeah. And, you know, we had a lot of atrocities there as well, and we did a lot of bad things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's America from time to time.
Lost
but at
least over, yeah.
We got those Russians out of there, sort of.
And that's it. It's like how Rocky got to defeat Russia in Rocky IV. This is that same kind of movie. Rambo gets to defeat Russia and end the Cold War. Strike a blow for America in Afghanistan. And you just can't think too hard on it. Or, I think, even revisit this movie. I think, from that perspective, 1 and 2 are the ones you watch. And then you're like, okay, maybe I'm good now.
Yeah, you can watch Rambo First Blood, like you said, not even Rambo, and be good. I don't need to go back to this. If you want to go in and see more action, stop at First Blood Part 2.
Yeah, Rambo First Blood Part 2. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Now, you and I are divided on the last two. You and I have different opinions. I thought most of Call It Rambo, Call It Rambo 4, Call It John Rambo, it kind of goes by all those names. If you watch the extended cut, it's John Rambo. But I thought that was a stronger movie from a dramatic perspective, even if it's definitely more over the top in the last section. Like, there's more gore in the last act of Rambo than in, like, I think the entire Saw series combined. It's pretty over the top. Yeah. It's real tight dramatics up to a certain point, real tense, real low, slow action, which suits Rambo too. And then suddenly it's like, okay, I'm going to use a 50 cal chain gun and cause body parts to explode. We've crossed back over into the last act of Rambo 2 and all of Rambo 3, and it kind of fell apart for me.
My biggest problem with the fourth installment was I literally gave a shit about none of the characters aside from Rambo.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You know, like, I felt no sympathy for the idiots that were going there to do their mission thing from their church. I still don't know who the villain was. Was he, like, you know...
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you.
Asian Man 27A. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even think he had a name.
But you don't ever learn it.
Yeah. Like, he's just, like, the general or whatever he was, you know, leading his militants. And, like, you see stuff like that, and you're like, wow, if they can do that in a movie, I can imagine the horrors that are actually possible in the world. And I just I did not like it because I didn't care. The gore was fun, but the people and characters in the movie, I didn't give two shits about at all.
You can definitely tell that we're horror fans because, like, well, the gore was over the top, but it was something right there. But
I saw just enough blood and guts to where it kind of made up for the lack of substance.
Yeah. No, but I wanted to care because I do recognize that, again, like with Vietnam, like with Afghanistan, he was trying to draw attention to the problems in Myanmar, in Burma, all the stuff that's going on there. And that's commendable for the time, 2008, before, like, one revolution ended and then the military coup picked up, like, a few years after that. Like, it's commendable to bring attention to it. I don't think it drew attention to it, not the way, like, First Blood did for the way that Vietnam soldiers were treated, but I think it's commendable that he tried. I think you're right, like, barely any of the missionaries, except for the lady played by Julie Benz, had anything going on with them. They were all expendable fodder. Most of them die, and I'm like, oh no, person number 4. What was your name again? And then you are correct that none of the Asian Burmese, Myanmar soldiers, whatever you want to call them.
The pirate, the rebels. No, they're not rebels. The rebels were fighting. The pirates
were different groups. But none of them have names. And they're all caricatures of, like, stock villains. And the fact is, there's a point where... So one of the Burmese leaders takes a younger boy into a room and the implied rape is there. He dies. But someone else is going to take a woman... And you only realize after the fact, and I don't mean this to sound bad, they both looked so similar, like, in facial structure and everything, I couldn't tell which of the generals died and which was the one that survived.
I wasn't sure either until I realized at the end that, that was the one.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't
your point.
I am a white guy, I recognize. This isn't the racist, they all look the same. These two guys, plenty of the other guys in the military base looked different. This was bad casting where they looked like twins. And
I wouldn't even say it's bad casting. You don't even know what their names are.
Well, that's true. There's also bad,
with names.
Bad writing, bad character development. At least you can say for most of the villains, you can recognize them by face or, like, certain actions or something. These guys were so flat and undeveloped. It was just generic bad group.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I didn't understand it. Like, I thought that that was the main guy.
Yeah.
And then at the end, when I saw how he killed the other guy, I'm like, oh no, that was the guy that was going after the girl. That's why he made it a point to eviscerate him.
And,
you know.
And the thing is, it's been far enough since I've watched it, like a week, that I can't even tell you if I'm talking about which one was the one that was with the boy and which one was the one with the girl who died or who whatever, because they're so generically the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I didn't get it. Like, and there's got to be more to hating a structure of a villain than just their bad guys.
Yeah,
insert generic trope here. Like, what even Rambo 3 did, they had that Russian guy that was like, you know, the general. Like, you knew who the bad guy was. They had the strong Zangief-looking guy that he was going to fight. You knew who they were. Yeah. I couldn't tell.
No, you couldn't. There was no development. There was no... It's two guys that look similar, and you didn't even give them anything to differentiate them. Like, at the very least... I watched Sinners recently, and it's they're both both the lead characters are played by Michael B. Jordan. But at least they had the decency to dress the two characters differently, so you could tell them, they don't even do this. The problem with military uniforms is you're already taking two guys that look the same and making them look more the same.
Yeah, exactly the same, because you're all wearing brown.
Yeah, yeah.
Or tan, whatever
olive drab, whatever you call it. Yeah. So I liked this better than the last one, Rambo Last Blood. So, which so far, and hopefully, is the last one. We don't need another one. I think my issue is both knowing who Sylvester Stallone is now and watching it through a lens of the story and the lack of development and his own personal politics, because he's a Trumper. I don't think he started off that way when he was making, like, First Blood, but he's gone way down that Trump road. And when you see that and you combine it with a story set around Mexican cartels, drug runners, people who are basically running the white slave trade. They capture and unnecessarily, essentially murder this girl that Rambo is attached to. She has some character development, and then that's thrown out the window, and then she dies for no reason. And the Mexican cartel guys are all pretty much generic, except for two of them dressed slightly differently. I mean, that's basically... they don't have any character development, they're just bad guys who decide to do bad things, and they're Mexican. When you take all that and then you couple it with Sylvester Stallone's personal politics, it's hard to read that movie as anything other than horribly racist towards Mexicans.
It was funny too, because when you said like you thought it was a racist, I thought you were mixing up 4 and 5. Like, I thought 4 was leaning more into the racism against, like, you know, the Asian culture and the way things are with the church. But you're right. I did not put that together. And
I was wondering how you did that.
Yeah, while I enjoyed the movie as, like, you know, Rambo kind of getting his revenge and all that, I do have to agree that that is very poor taste in, you know, the overall message of who the bad guy is. I thought this was just about it. It was his niece, and this really hit home, and he lost something again. But when you approach it from that angle you just brought up, I cannot disagree that that's a little bit...
And you're not wrong. There's definitely a thread between Rambo 2 and Rambo 4, where there's some pretty strong Asian racism that is more than likely unintentional, and he was just making generic bad guys. But it also speaks to a problem of Sylvester Stallone's writing. Like, he has an Academy Award for writing from Rocky, but from, like, Rambo 2 on, he writes the most generically bland villains for these guys. And it's like, are you just not engaged in the material? Do you only care about Rambo? Where is all this in? Because there's a reading to your movies that maybe you were intending... I don't think it's unintended for the fifth one. I think that's very intended.
Yeah, that feels like it now, talking about it. I think that feels like that was a little more purposeful than I thought.
Too on the nose. And, like, I think the only way they could have made it worse if it was a white girl who went down to Mexico and then got, turned into a... Like, I think they were trying to, like, well, you know, there's a message we're maybe accidentally making. Let's make the girl Mexican. That's going to be a little better. It wasn't better. Yeah. It was in no way better.
It was not. And it was the same, you know, the abandoned father who wants nothing to do with her and the friend that betrays her. Like, some of it is very generic, but, like, the message was hitting to me for Rambo's loss in the movie.
I get
the message of the movie in general seems very poor.
Yeah, like, very poor. It was definitely Rambo's version of Death Wish. Like, you want to make those old movies from the 1970s that were just vengeance exploitation applied to a Rambo movie, which, if Sylvester Stallone want to make that movie, fine.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really suit the character of Rambo. Like, he wanders into Mexico, and where are any of his special skills that he has? It's like making a Taken movie, but he gets captured in the first 5 minutes and fails at every level. Like,
yeah. I was very surprised that he just, like, got lit up like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not the John Rambo I know. No. Like, I know he's going to get his revenge, you know, sooner or later because he's Rambo. And I've seen him do this, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, well, he got jacked up, and I was like, damn, you really just only made things worse.
Yeah, he did on every level. And it's like he goes to get his revenge. So I'm sitting there going, who really needs to have some revenge here? Because you were a complete idiot in everything you did. And then you go and kill a bunch of Mexicans because it's fun?
Revenge is a son of a bitch, I guess. And
it was a poorly written movie.
It was. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. The two cartel, the guys, like the one guy, Z or Zeke, whatever his name was, that carved the Z in them. The V. I'm not sure. He carved something in their faces. I'm like, that guy's got to go.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Yeah. And then the other main boss, too. Like, I wanted him to get it. But again, none of the other characters had any development. You don't need to develop your crew of cast or whatever, but you can do better than henchmen C through X. You can give somebody else a little bit of something. Yeah, they were just bodies.
And that speaks to something. Like, there's a big set piece near the end where they're going through the tunnels that he's dug underneath his ranch, which everyone in the movie seems okay with them if they're friends with, like, oh, sure, dig your tunnels, that's fine. They don't think it's at all insane, which it is.
It is.
It absolutely is. But then, like, they're going through his tunnels, and Rambo kills so many people, and you're sitting there going, this is just, it has no balance or purpose to me except killing people, because it's like we're shown like 50 dudes that go in there, but you don't know how many there are. You don't have any names or faces.
They just kept dying.
It's like when we bitch about slasher movies where they have like 25 people die, and you're sitting there going, you've crossed a Rubicon where the bodies no longer have any point to them. You don't care.
That's a great point. It's like they took the party scene in the cornfield where, like, you know, a bunch of generic characters die and made that the action crux of the movie.
Yeah, I think about it from the second Halloween movie of the new trilogy where, like, this big gang of people come to beat the shit out of Michael Myers. And then after they've had their fun basically nearly killing him, he gets back up and kills all of them. And it's like 20 people, most of whom we've never seen before. And you're like, Am I supposed to care? Because it's just gore, purposeless gore for a body count. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. I feel like also, like, it's just gotten to the point where, like, some of those movies, like, I guess you know what you're buying the ticket for at the end of the day, but sometimes it does feel a little gratuitous.
Yep.
And a little more, like, we can get a little lazier with the writing and the development if we give them just another pinky that's being ripped off or something.
And like, that's both of the last two Rambos for sure. Although everything past First Blood kind of has that problem.
I would say you're right. I enjoyed Rambos 1 through 3 as a kid. I enjoyed 4 and 5 for what they were, an action movie. You knew what you were going to see. It's like going to a Godzilla movie. You're going for the monsters. I want to see Rambo be that monster. And I at least got to see a little bit of that.
You did. That's true. But I don't think any of them really hold up past First Blood. That's the only one that's worthwhile at all.
Yeah. I would say that out of all of them, that is the only one that holds up. Even the second one, which I think is pretty good too, does not hold up in terms of like theming or set pieces or anything. The first one's message is something that I feel like he's tried to hit ever since, and it just hasn't landed.
No, he hasn't been able has a story, but that, I think that's in part because only the first one was actually based on a novel, and everything is based on Stallone's own fever dream.
So
if you're gonna watch these movies, I'm not sure you really need to anymore, but if you're going to watch them, watch First Blood and maybe skip the rest. They don't hold up all these 30 years later. They just don't hold up.
Watch Rambo First Blood for a good story about a veteran going through adversity. Watch First Blood Part 2 if you want to see a good 80s action flick without a monster.
Yeah, pretty much. And then after that, skip the rest.
I would say that's about right.
This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, going back to work on our tunnels under our podcasting studio. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, going to go and get his buddy out of the cage that he locked in there a couple years ago. Bye.
We will see you all next time.